From now and then, we're reminded of the meaning of some of the words, because oftentimes we just kind of get into the rhythm of it and not think about the actual words intended. So thank you, Charles, for making those points from time to time. It's good to see each one of you this morning. We have visitors with us, and we are appreciative of your presence. I know there are some here who have family with them this morning. We do not, though we had a lot of family in over the weekend. They all had to head north and south and in various directions to get home and weren't able to be with us this morning. I just want to take on a personal note to thank everybody for the expressions of happy birthday to me. I do want you to keep things in perspective. You're in the same boat that I'm in. None of you have been older than you are right now. Just keep that in mind. We are going to conclude a little series we began before the gospel meeting, when we talked about the idea of a selfishness, when people take on the attitude when it's all about me. And in the course of this particular mini-series, if you will, we have been looking at various aspects of this idea that it's all about me. We began by thinking of individuals who had a high opinion of themselves, and the problem when you think too highly of yourself, the destructive nature of that kind of attitude that exists when we do that. Then there are times when we find ourselves having a value of ourselves that is better than anybody else, and the destructive aspects of that particular attitude as well, we examined it. We also examined the idea of when we're just involved in pleasing ourselves. Everything is about pleasing myself to the exclusion of what might be better for others. And as a result, we saw the sinfulness of that type of attitude, that type of behavior. We also looked at the idea when individuals find themselves wanting to simply live for themselves. That's the be-all and end-all. We end up in every one of these circumstances forgetting about the value of others and forgetting about the importance of others within our lives. We're going to conclude this morning by looking at a couple of other things in that regard. One is the idea of having an unrestrained view of who we are and what we're all about. And within that unrestrained view, we certainly find ourselves as individuals seeing no limitations on what we would desire and what we're all about. And in doing so, we become very destructive many times. A story is told about a man who was an author a century ago who was a great collector of moths. He had apparently a world-renowned collection, and he was also an accomplished author. And he was visiting out in the West one time at a particular rancher's farm, and a rancher's ranch, and the rancher told him about the odd, very specialized moths that were on his property. And so the author went out exploring and found some moths and began to follow them. He was intent on capturing them to put them up as a part of his collection. And as he was doing so, he actually heard what sounded like some sort of moaning or wailing, but he was intent on getting that moth to add to his collection, and he continued pursuing it and eventually was able to capture the moth and put it as part of his collection. The next day, as some of the ranch hands were out in that general area, they found there an old prospector who had died recently. And it was realized that that prospector had actually been the one who was making the moaning sounds, the pleas for help, that were overlooked by this famous author as he was pursuing his moth collection. He had ignored the pleas of a dying man that he might satisfy what he wanted, that he might accomplish what he wanted to accomplish in order to add to his moth collection. And so his selfishness in chasing those moths, in chasing butterflies as well, had indeed caused that man his life. We have to be careful that we don't find ourselves so busy chasing our butterflies, so busy chasing our moth collections, that we forget the people around us. We find ourselves so busy involved in that sort of thing that we forget that we are, I would almost say by definition, servants of Jesus Christ. And as such, we need to be individuals that recognize that we're constantly seeking and trying to bring the gospel to the lost. And that becomes our number one priority in everything we pursue and in everything we do in life. The congregation, for the sake of those who are visiting, the congregation here has set for themselves, I would hope, a goal of trying to influence 5 people in 2019 with the gospel of Christ. And hopefully finding 5 people who are willing to hear the message and respond to the message. And therefore come and accept the grace of God, which was Christ's death upon the cross. But we will never accomplish even getting the message out to those 5 people if we just concentrate on our own moths, on our own butterflies, on the things that are important to us and us alone. Would you open your Bibles over to the book of Romans, the first verses of chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where Paul reminds them, and I'm reading from the New King James Translation, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may approve that which is good and acceptable and perfect in the will of God." That's what we as children of God need to see as one of the key points of who we are when we're not wrapped up in ourselves, but wrapped up in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we see ourselves as individuals who are out there trying to give of ourselves, making a difference to the people around us. Now, it's fantastic that we make a difference to the world around us, perhaps in the jobs we do, maybe in the buildings that we build, maybe in the particular type of occupation we have. It influences people around us for the good. But let me tell you something. Not all of us are going to be rocket scientists. Not all of us are great surgeons. Not all of us are great doctors like we have within the congregation here. Not all of us are great builders like we have in the congregation here. But every child of God, regardless of the talents the world may perceive us to possess, have the ability to serve others. Have the ability to release ourselves from the restraints that we put upon ourselves if we simply concentrate on ourselves. And therefore, each of us has that ability to become that individual who has presented their body before God as a living sacrifice, who is looking for the opportunities to seek and save those who are lost. And if you'll remember what Paul tells the Romans there, it is reasonable service. I need to remind myself of that sometimes, and I think you need to remind yourself of that sometimes, because oftentimes I think Satan wants us to view the service to God as a rather inconvenient and unreasonable thing to be involved in. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be presenting some lessons about what's involved in being part of a congregation. And I think sometimes we forget the obligation we take on, and by the way, God expects us to take on, to be a member of a local congregation. And sometimes we may look at aspects of it as rather unreasonable, though we'll never say the words to ourselves, but in our behavior, and perhaps even in our passive thinking, we take on that attitude when we need to remind ourselves that the inspired writer Paul says, no, it's reasonable service to God. The most difficult thing God asks of you is in fact reasonable. The hardest temptation you have to overcome is in fact reasonable. The most aggressive thing you need to do as a child of God in service to God is, in fact, reasonable. It's a reasonable service that we find ourselves involved in. And so we indeed cannot take on this attitude of having an unrestrained view of ourselves. What we need to be willing to do is recognize that as children of God, we're going to break ourselves from the shackles of that which binds us at times. And we are going to see for ourselves that indeed, we also cannot fall to the temptation, the final that we'll look at this morning, of taking on that idea that I only need to serve myself. This is a little different than the point we made 2 weeks ago, as we referenced that old Ricky Nelson song about simply taking care of self. We need to recognize that it's not important that we be served, as sometimes the world thinks it is important. And sometimes the world wants us to take on the attitude, yes, we're the ones who need to be served. We're the ones who need to think of ourselves as most important. Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, in verses 3 through 6, "For I bear witness that according to their abilities, yes, and beyond their abilities, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." Now remember what he's talking about here. There were needy saints elsewhere in the world, and Paul was reminding the Macedonians and others about the importance of helping those needy saints, and Paul is reminding the Corinthians of their responsibility and was using the Macedonians as an example of the attitude he was hoping they would have. And I think the Holy Spirit puts it there for us to be reminded of the attitude that we need to have. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So we urge Titus, as he had begun, so he also would complete this grace in you as well. So Titus was going to come to them with the idea of accomplishing this. This happened to be a financial gift that was going to help with the needs of the saints that were in Jerusalem who were in a dire situation financially, even to the point of possible starvation. And so we have that attitude, that willingness to watch for ourselves. We have that responsibility also to be presenting ourselves again as that living sacrifice that we talked about in the previous point and reiterate again in this point. We keep that renewing of our mind by constantly reminding ourselves of who we are servants for. Not that we are to be the ones who are always wanting to be served. It seems that oftentimes we will have people who come into our lives, maybe pass on through our lives, that always were taking, 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 taking. Very seldom were they giving and giving and giving. There may be some who pass through your life that never were givers but always takers. Even under those circumstances, we have a responsibility to do our part in helping them. Now, of course, there's the whole question of not being an enabler, etc. But setting all those precautions aside, the two questions we would ask ourselves are the two: are you always taking and never giving? Are you always giving and never taking? Everybody would like to be over on this side. And I suspect there are times when even those who would like to be on this side may find themselves, because of the circumstances of life, as individuals who need to receive. And we can't let pride stand in the way of that either. Again, Paul to the Corinthians in the 16th chapter, he says, I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. He lifted them, this family, up as an example of individuals who could be looked to say, these are individuals who are out there serving, out there at the behest of others. And I would hope that we recognize people in this congregation who are always willing to step up, always willing to serve, always willing to be of assistance to those around them. Jesus said over in Mark the 12th chapter, chapter 10, 45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many. And then we have an example of that there, the night in which He was betrayed. He's with the apostles taking the Passover in preparation for Passover. And notice what happens in verses 14 through 17. Jesus in action. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For as I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you, most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Set the scene here for a moment. Jesus was washing the apostles' feet. Peter had said, No, you're not going to wash my feet. In fact, if you're going to wash my feet, you're going to wash my whole body. And Jesus made the point to him, your whole body doesn't need washed, your feet need washed because of the circumstances in the society there, the custom of washing the feet as they'd come in from the roadside. But Jesus sets the example that I'm going to serve. He is not, and there are individuals today that think foot washing is part of worshiping God. Jesus isn't doing that at all. He was showing that He was willing to be a servant to those to fulfill a need that they had within their lives. Even something that would seem to be a rather menial task. And in doing so, sets the perfect example for you and I. And it's quite simply this. There is no task too small for you to carry out for another person. You may have thought I was going to say another child of God. I think another child of God is obvious. But even for another person. Remember what Paul had told the Galatians in the 6th chapter in verse 10. They were to do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. Your willingness to serve others can never be limited simply to how you would serve one another. Because quite frankly, my friends, it's easy for me to want to serve you in the most menial way possible. And I suspect that's true of everyone here. But what about the dirty, smelly, down-and-out person that we don't know well at all, whom, when you're within 5 feet of them, reek of body odors? How willing are you then to check their needs? How willing are you then to serve them, to minister to them in the physical and obviously in the spiritual? I must be quite frank with you that at times I have to check myself on this point. Because like I said, as I look over this audience, I don't see anybody that's dirty, stinky, smelly. That doesn't mean I'm not going to come across somebody that's dirty, stinky, smelly. And what am I going to do? What are you going to do? Jesus Christ says, if it's not all about you, then you're going to be willing to serve others. My greatest fear in this regard is that we measure our willingness to serve by our willingness to interact at times with our closest friends here. Because that's also a reality. We don't have individuals that we I would hope we don't have individuals within our fellowship here that we deliberately don't want anything to do with, but because of circumstance, there are some whom we're going to be closer to. And they we will readily be of service to. And then the rest of you, well, yeah, we're going to be of service to you if the need arises. But what about those outside of our fellowship? Examine yourself. Think about Jesus' words here. And be willing to minister and serve others. We have to be careful, my friends, that we don't sit around simply taking the attitude, serve me, serve me, serve me. That's a mistake for each and every one of us. In the course of the lessons over the last few weeks, we've talked about this wall that can come up around us as we do all the things that are noted there. And everything that we've noted here, all seven of these points, have been negative. And I would suggest to you in the course of the lessons, what we've really tried to present is the fact that there are positive alternatives to all of this. Don't think highly of self. Esteem others better. Don't always wanting simply to be pleasing yourself, and don't live just for yourself first and foremost. Be willing to deny yourself that you might help someone else. Be willing to give of yourself. And do be devoted to service. I want to close by emphasizing point 7 one more time, because I touched on it 2 weeks ago. Well, not on that point, but with regard to the idea of denying self. And that is that I fear too often we forget that when Jesus talks about that great judgment scene, and people say, when did we see you naked? When did we see you in prison? When did we see you hungry? He'll say, you saw it all around you, and you did nothing. Depart into everlasting damnation. And to others he'll say, well, you saw it all around you and you did something about it. If you note in Matthew 25, he does not enumerate a number of the sins that we find so repulsive and say, you avoided all those sins or you committed all those sins. He referenced devoting ourselves to service. Let that be who we are. Don't let your life be all about you. And I pray that this little mini-series has been profitable to you to remind yourself of who you are and what you are to be about as a child of God. We're about to sing a song of encouragement. If you'll remember, we've been told that we are saved by the grace of God. That salvation by grace in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, verse 8, is Christ's death on the cross. That was unmerited favor. Nobody did anything to deserve and justify Christ coming to die. Nobody. And yet He did. He came and died for our sins. Our responsibility is to respond. To respond by accepting the fact that Jesus is the Christ, recognizing that we're in darkness, leave that darkness through repentance, confess Christ as the Son of God, and be buried with Him in the waters of baptism. If you've not yet done this, today is the opportunity. We're not promised this afternoon. We're not promised tomorrow. If there's anyone who needs to respond to the invitation, we invite you to have a seat at the front as we stand together and as we sing.